This is John Alts, and I'd like to once again welcome you back to the weekly broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, last week, we started a message that is very close to my heart. The message was titled, Who Accepts Whom? Now, Pastor Reynolds pointed out that so many get a false sense of security because they believe that they have done what it takes to be acceptable before God. They've made the decision, so to speak. But, you know, it is Christ and Christ alone that brings forgiveness and salvation. It's not of our own works, but it is His gift. Now, this message is near and dear to my heart because there was a time in my life where I made a false profession of faith, and I simply repeated a few phrases or words that were given to me, but down deep, I didn't really believe it because I was still trusting in myself. You know, and it was 10 years later that the Lord started dealing with me and bringing verses back to my mind and bringing me to the place of feeling totally helpless and truly that term lost. You know, and it was that night that the Lord showed me what He had done for me and brought me to Him. Now, did I accept His gift of salvation? Yes, but only because He humbled me and brought me to Himself. Now, as saved people, we need to be telling others of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we can't save anyone, and we can't make them say just the right thing. We are commanded to tell them of what Jesus did for us and to tell them what He can do for them. And it is Jesus and Jesus alone that can bring that lost sinner to repentance and trust and faith in Him. So please listen as Pastor Reynolds finishes this message titled, Who Accepts Whom?
Last Sunday morning, we began a message entitled, Who Accepts Whom? In our discussion, we came down to this very vital truth that accepting ultimately belongs unto the Lord. You see, salvation is His act. Salvation is His initiative. Salvation is His intervention in a hopeless case. Salvation, according to Jonah 2 in verse number 9, is of the Lord. Salvation is not so much the sinner accepting God as it is God accepting the sinner who in desperation turns from sin and clings unto Christ. This is the gospel message which exalts God and rightly positions Him in the driver's seat. This makes man the orbiting sphere around God, and God is always the central figure. In grace, the emphasis is not upon the recipient, but grace puts the emphasis rightly on the giver. Now, my friend, is this the gospel of your salvation? Are you still thinking in terms of what you have done, or are you depending entirely on what God's Son has already done for you? Now, I can almost hear somebody saying, how about my decision? Didn't I have to do something in order to be saved? Didn't I at least have to decide to be saved? Think of this. I will let another brother answer this very vital question for us. His name is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He lived in the year 1834 to 1892. This comes from his autobiography. Now, he writes, "When I was coming to Christ, I thought I was doing it all by myself. And though I sought the Lord earnestly, I had no idea the Lord was seeking me. I do not think the young convert is at first aware of this very vital truth. I can recall the very day and hour when first I received those truths in my own soul, when they were, as John Bunyan said, burning to my heart as though with a hot iron. And I can recollect how I felt that I had grown on a sudden from a babe unto a man, that I had made progress in spiritual knowledge, though having found once for all, the clue to the truth of God. One weeknight, when I was sitting in the house of God, I was not thinking much about the preacher's sermon, for I did not believe it. The thought struck me, how did you become a Christian? Well, I answered, I sought the Lord. But the question came again, but how did you come to seek the Lord? The truth flashed across my mind in a moment. I should not have sought him unless there had been some previous influence in my mind to make me seek him. I prayed, thought I, but then I asked myself, why did I come to pray? Well, the answer is, I was induced to pray by reading the scriptures. I did read them, but what led me to read the scriptures? Then in a moment, I saw that God was at the bottom of it all, and that he was the author of my faith. And so the whole doctrine of grace opened up to me, and from that doctrine, I have not departed to this day, and I desire to make this my constant confession. I ascribe my change wholly to God. Now, that is what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said about the way that he was saved. I don't think we can really go by what he said, though, because we have to go by what the Bible says. Instead, what is it that the Bible says? In Jonah 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says here, salvation is of the Lord. Notice another hymn writer that anonymously put it this way. I sought the Lord, and afterward I know. He moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It is not I that found, O Savior true, no, I was found of thee. Thou didst reach forth thy hand to mine enfold. I walked and sank not on the storm-vexed sea. 'Twas not so much that I on thee took hold, as thou, dear Lord, on me. I find, I walk, I love. But, oh, the whole of love is not my answer, Lord, to thee. For thou wert long beforehand with my soul. Always, always, thou lovest me. Yes, in conversation, I do desire Christ. But I do make a choice. And even all that is his work of grace in me. You see, in Philippians 2 and verse number 13, the Bible states, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God doesn't save a man against his will, but God first makes him very willing to trust him. Such willingness is not natural to man. It is secured only by God's grace. But is all this really taught in the Bible? Well, undoubtedly it is taught. The whole point of the Old Testament sacrificial system was to symbolically make the offer acceptable unto God. We frequently read statements such as this in the Old Testament, and he shall put forth his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. That's in Leviticus 1 and verse number 4. But when we come to the New Testament, we find that he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10 verse 35. Paul's desire in all things that he did was exactly the same. The Bible states in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Likewise, when we look at the word receive, we are again brought face to face with the reality that it is ultimately God who does the receiving. This the scriptures often affirm. For example, the psalmist was comforted by knowing that he shall receive me. That's in Psalms 49 and verse 15. The Pharisees, however, complained against Christ. that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, in Luke 15 and verse number 2. But Paul also taught the Romans that Christ received us to the glory of God. In Hebrews 12 and verse number 6, this Bible verse states that God is active in adopting spiritual sons into his family. The Bible states here, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You see, man is opposed to God and his truth, unless and until God changes his sinful heart. The Bible states in John 3 and verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it were given him from heaven. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 14, the Bible states, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There's another well-known verse in John 1 that says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's John 1 and verse number 12. This is a very precious truth indeed. But this verse does not stand alone. The next verse, verse 13, very clearly states that the receiving of Christ was only possible by the enabling grace of Almighty God. This verse states, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. My friend, the whole point that we've simply stated is this, that if you love God, it is only because he has previously loved you. Look it up in the King James Bible and see if that's not so. We love him because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4 and verse 19. If you love God, it is only because he has previously chosen you. Another excellent place to look at this is in John 15, verse 6, where it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, has this truth about who accepts whom gripped your soul? Do you see that you are an unworthy sinner, whose only way of acceptance with God is that you be found in Christ? Has God accepted you? But please, do not misunderstand what I've said. It is true that you must come to Christ and receive salvation. This good news of Christ coming into the world to save sinners is wholly worthy of all acceptation. But every person must come as a humble beggar, empty-handed, casting themselves completely upon Christ, marveling in his infinite love. I urge you to come to the Savior of needy sinners now. Accept Jesus Christ the way a drowning man accepts a life preserver, the way a prisoner accepts freedom. Receive him the way a sick man receives a physician. We pray for you that God would bless your unworthy soul.
You know, if you've never been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, then I pray that he will use this very message to show you your need, that he will move in your heart, and that you will turn from your sinful condition and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. And if you'd like to talk to us about your need of salvation, then please come and visit with us. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forest Hill, Missouri. We're going to start services this morning at 10 a.m. with Sunday school. And so if you're able to stop by, then I'd encourage you to do so. Now, if you're not able, then go ahead and call us at 636-673-2180, or you can contact us via our website at independencebaptist.org. Well, we trust this short series on who accepts whom has been a blessing to you, and that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.